You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. If you're new to the show, it's a great time to be a part of it, as we've upgraded to Experts Edition here for the 2018 season. I got the game picks and the fantasy matchups and week three advice in the works there at Sporting News. You can check things out there. Here are our new lineup. If you've missed a couple shows this week, we had Tom Kesenick of High Stakes Fantasy. He's now helping us with Roundup Mondays, looking at week two. We had Eric Hedholm and his weekly waiver wire advice from Pro Football Weekly. And now we get into the good nitty gritty part of looking into the week three games. And we have a couple of back-to-back features from Pro Football Focus. Jeff Ratcliffe is on the show today to help us with matchup focus, where we look at the five biggest games there in terms of a potential scoring for fantasy football in week three. And then we'll come back tomorrow, as we do close it strong, with Tyler Lochner, also Pro Football Focus, to help us with lineup. Focused our kind of spin directly on DFS games on FanDuel and DraftKings. So that's the new lineup. If you're just settling in, this is the biggest, heaviest part of the week here, as we look at every game both sides going in, try to figure out the best plays, what are the most favorable situations for your team to succeed here. And Jeff will come on and we'll look at the big games there with the highest point totals and a lot of good fantasy potential there. But we have to start with the games leading up to that, and every game has got some fantasy value, including the Jets and Browns here. The Thursday night special, the Browns are actually favored in this game. They're 0-1-1 here. It's a low over-under, 39.5. It's Thursday night football. Can be a bit of a grind here. Two pretty good defenses early, but there are some leaks in both defenses. I would say the Jets are a little bit more vulnerable against the pass, and the Browns are a little bit more vulnerable against the run. So when we look at this matchup, Sam Darnold on the road, primetime, this Browns defense playing very well, contained the Saints last week, contained the Steelers pretty well, even though they gave him some yardage in week one there. So the Jets, Sam Darnold going in, it's going to be a tough spot. I love the Browns defense here at home. They actually have a pretty favorable schedule coming up with Oakland next after this. So you put the Browns in here, primetime, get the bump for them. The Jets defense could also be good, but they're also facing Tyrod Taylor, a very familiar foe. So I think the Jets defense is going to be a little bit curbed here. They're going to come out, try to run early with Isaiah Crowell, working some Bilal Powell. So I like them more than anyone else in this game. And Quincy Enunwa is in there as a wide receiver 3 for you, because he is pretty much their wide receiver 1. There are a lot of underneath throws, the tight end, hybrid big slot role there. So he's going to be the guy most productive in the pass game. Crowell and Powell were a little disappointing last week, although Powell did score on a late little dart off a pass against the Dolphins. The game flow figures to be rather even in this game, at least early. So Crowell, former Brown, a little bit motivated to run well against his former team. So I think he can at least get 60 yards here, maybe potential score, and Powell can be involved there late in the passing game. So kind of some sneaky plays there that I would go back to, even with the disappointment for Crowell last week. For the Browns side of things, eventually they're going to make a Sam Darnold pass, so their defense is the number one streamer this week. Tyrod has a good little experience against the Jets, has done well against them as a Bill. So there's that. I think he's going to run around, make a few plays. The Jets secondary can be a little bit vulnerable. Jarvis Landry, again, has also had a good success against the Jets for another team in the division, the Dolphins. So a lot of Taylor and Landry are going to get the job done. They said they're going to get a little bit more Duke Johnson involved here. I don't really like Carlos Hyde here as the power straight-up running game against the Jets middle, but Duke Johnson could get around and make some plays. David Njoku a little bit bottled up here. So Johnson, I think, is still a stretch right now. I would only think about him in deep PPR flex and Hyde I might bench. Taylor's not a bad 2QB option or streamer this week if you need him, because of the running ability and things he can do there. And definitely has some weapons with Landry. Now, Antonio Callaway is the number two receiver, replacing Josh Gordon there. So not too much. I wouldn't expect too much. I would have little shares of this game and maybe avoid playing any DFS related to Thursday Night Football, but still intriguing in terms of what you could get from one defense in particular in this game. Our next game is the Bills and Vikings, and this one is lopsided. It's a spread here of 17 in the Vikings' favor, and when you look at it, the over-under there is 41, so pretty low implied total here overall that the Vikings are going to shut things down here, but I think the Vikings could be all over them, and they could get all those 41 points, and it would not surprise me. They're added Dan Bailey to the mix. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen can have their way with the secondary at this point that's really struggling. The run defense, not as bad, but Dalvin Cook, I think I would have tempered my expectations because this game could get out of hand with the big plays in the passing game. You could see some Latavius Murray, so a deep flex option, potentially Murray with some garbage time there. Because they want to be careful with Cook. If they have a big lead, they want to get Murray in there, not overwork Cook here as he comes off the ACL. Had some cramping last week against the Packers, had to come out of that game late that just went into overtime. So Murray, I think, is going to be useful here. So a little extension on the Vikings. But Diggs, Thielen, and Kyle Rudolph are looking like every week plays for me because the way that Kirk Cousins, again, another every week play, is distributing the ball to these guys. Great matchup at home. They're going to win it running away with the Bills. Absolutely nothing you can trust on that side of the ball there at all. Our next matchup, as we stay in the 1 o'clock window on Sunday that we're looking at, is the Packers and Redskins. The Packers are mild favorites in this game, 3-point favorites as they go on the road. Now, I like the Packers to win this game. The Redskins, I don't know which one is the real team. They went to Arizona, looked pretty good, got a weak team at home in the Colts, and looked pretty bad. They didn't score a touchdown last week while they were in control of the game 2 weeks ago. So I think you'll get something in between, but I think you'll get a lot of passing from the Redskins. A lot of short passing there. A lot of Chris Thompson. So Chris Thompson is that play that you can put in every week, whether you're in PPR and standard. He's just too involved to ignore here. Adrian Peterson, I think you can go back to parking him again after the bad struggles against the Colts. But Thompson definitely a play. In terms of wide receivers, it's really hard to trust anyone. They signed a couple more guys this week, and Michael Floyd, Breshad Perriman, not really happy with Josh Doctson, Paul Richardson, limited returns, and Jamison Crowder, that hasn't gotten going yet as well. So Jordan Reed, you got to like right now because he's the only likable thing in this passing game with Chris Thompson, with Alex Smith at this point. But I think Alex Smith is in line for another close to 300-yard game, multiple TDs here, at least in garbage time that we didn't get against the Colts last week. So it'll be a little bit better this week for him. The Packers will go out to a big lead. In terms of backfield, wouldn't trust anything there with the Packers. But Jimmy Graham and Devontae Adams, you feel good about. I think it's a little extension to go for Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison, but I think they could do something here if you really need them. But feel really good about Adams and Graham coming through for you here, as well as Rodgers and Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones coming back. Let's feel out that backfield, see how it goes before we go to any of those guys there. Our next matchup is the Broncos and Ravens, staying in that 1 p.m. window. The Ravens are home favorites by 5. The Broncos have kind of looked okay. The biggest assets so far have been Emmanuel Sanders and the rookie undrafted free agent Philip Lindsay out of the backfield. I think this will be a little slowdown affair. I think I like the receivers, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, in this one. I don't like the Broncos running game with those two rookies, Lindsey and Royce Freeman. The Ravens are going to come out, stop the run. They're well-rested up front. They can contain the action there. They're a little bit more vulnerable in the secondary at this very moment. So love Sanders there, becoming that every week guy that you trust. And Thomas, even with the volume, you got to go there as well. So cool off the Broncos running game, but the receivers still stay in there. For the Ravens, I'm going with Alex Collins. I'm not ready to buy in totally on Buck Allen coming in there. He's still getting very limited touches, not looking good. They'll reassess and say, hey, maybe Collins is a guy that needs to carry us home in this type of game. And this is a game where they would need him, where it's not going to necessarily be a blowout, but they should be playing from ahead, and he can run them to victory here and play a little bit better closer than what Buck Allen can. So I like Collins here to rebound. He did have 9 points in a non-PPR last week, so not too bad, but I think here he goes over double digits with a touchdown there. And for the Ravens, John Brown is the only receiver I really like right now, the most consistent target for Flacco. We saw the Broncos struggle a little bit with Amari Cooper. They can move Brown all over the field there and be productive, while Crabtree is going to be stuck a little bit against the Broncos, even without Aqib Talib in there. The next game we look at is the Colts and the Eagles, and this one is a 6.5 point favorite in the Eagles side. Carson Wentz, the big news, is returning. I think if he's playing for the Eagles, he's playing for you. You got to put him in the lineup and see what he can do against the Colts. It's a bad defense that the Redskins didn't exploit, but the Eagles certainly can. Wentz is basically a better version of Alex Smith facing this defense. So he's going to finish some drives with Nelson Agholor and Zach Ertz and maybe Corey Clement there as well. And J.J., we have to see with him. He's going to definitely be in your lineup, but he's got a back injury issue that they're worrying about. Had to come out of the game with that. Darren Sproles older and hamstrung as well. So Clement could have a big role here for the Eagles as they handle things in this game. With Andrew Luck, I can't say I like him too much. I think he plays principals who right now are T.Y. Hilton, not Jack Doyle, but Eric Ebron, the guys that are scoring and being more productive with Luck in the first two games. So that's kind of what I look at for the Colts in terms of regular plays. But the Eagles, you want to get all your Eagles in as possible. I really like the Eagles defense as well. Andrew Luck has been turning it over. They had to give up a defensive touchdown to the Bengals in week one. I think the Eagles could do that here. They really need this game after losing to the Bucs on the road last week. And it's something that we definitely have to look at there, where the Eagles, good rebound game, and things are going to completely change with the Wentz entering the fray. Next game we'll look at, and we'll bring on Jeff here shortly to get into our big games, is the Giants and Texans. This is kind of a sneaky one. The Texans are favored by 6. The Giants just played in Dallas, so they're going over to Houston right now. The Texans, I really like what I saw from Deshaun Watson with Will Fuller in there. So Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins made Hopkins better, Fuller's better, and Watson is better. So this offense really channels around those three guys and Lamar Miller as the next guy there. So it's a very simple offense in terms of that, not too many mouths to feed. Watson keeps it simple with those three guys around him. So I think it's going to be another productive game. It's their first home game of the season here in week 3. So we got to like that. Got to like the Texans defense. The Giants just gave up a ton of sacks, 6 to the Cowboys. You got J.J. Watt, J.D. McClowney, Whitney Merciless. So Texans defense is going to be pretty spectacular in this one as well. On the other side of things, Odell Beckham Jr. and Saquon Barkley were back to that. And now I think we're going to extend to Evan Ingram as well. Sterling Shepard, not too much involved. A lot of shorter passes there for Eli Manning's. And Ingram has been getting open a lot in those Pat Shurmur, Mike Shula offense that we've seen Kyle Rudolph / Greg Olsen do well in. So really like Ingram more than Shepard here is the number, kind of the 3 option with Beckham and Barkley. So that's the only place you're looking. You're not extending to Eli Manning or Sterling Shepard or the Giants defense at this point, even with the Texans giving up some sacks. We're talking a lot about these games and the over-unders and the point spreads and all that. And it's funny because ever since I started doing this podcast, people have been asking me, who do I like to win this week? And they go to Sporting News and see where I have my picks against the spread. Well, let me tell you this. The team you're betting on is one thing to win in a given week, but you got to bet at the right platform. And I got to tell you that MyBookie is the only platform to do that. And they are your best bet this season. They are welcoming a whole bunch of new bettors there. They've been in this business for years. You can check out the reviews. They're great. And they've got a mobile site that's easy to use, as well as live in-game betting. And for fantasy football players out there, you can bet on the over-under of a point scored in a particular week. So that's fantastic. And the best thing about MyBookie, when you go and play there, if you win, they're going to pay you fast. And you got to get in there. And if you can deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, when they're not as slammed, they're going to give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. And if you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. You just have to use the promo code LOCKEDON25. That's LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. It's very easy. You just visit MyBookie today, MyBookie. Use that promo code LOCKEDON25. You'll save that money and you'll get a little bit even more there, $25 if you do it after 7. And they'll just match it up to $1,000 in free play. So that's fantastic. So use that promo code LOCKEDON25. But you got to go in there and take advantage of that. Get that extra money for free and play and win. My bookie, you play, you win, you get paid. We'll be back here soon with Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus to help us on matchup focused on the five biggest games of the week. Joining me now, as he always does here on Wednesdays for Matchup Focus, is Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus to help us break down the five biggest matchups here in terms of high scoring ability in week three. How's it going, Jeff?
I tell you what, Vinny, it's going great, but the first 2 weeks of the season are always crazy. And what I can't believe is the output at the quarterback position. Some of these quarterbacks putting up historic numbers over the first 2 weeks of the season. So I'm looking forward to week three here.
Well, if you like historic numbers and you like quarterbacks putting up points, the 49ers and Chiefs lines up. The interesting thing there to me is Matt Breida, of course, as we all drew it up, the NFL's leading rusher after 2 weeks. Jimmy Garoppolo and Patrick Mahomes, we feel pretty darn good about. But what do you think about the running backs in this game, Breida and Kareem Hunt?
Well, I think it should be noted, and this is not getting talked about enough, Alfred Morris outtouched Matt Breida. It was 16-14 in that contest. So it's not as if this is now the coronation of the Matt Breida era by any means. And the thing about a guy like him is he's such a boomer bust guy, an upside player, where I'm looking for more. I love the upside, but I'm looking for more volume plays at the running back position. So, you know, I'm a little cautious. I'm optimistic with Breida, but I'm still a little bit cautious there. Now, of course, Kareem Hunt, he's more of that volume guy. And we saw him get involved in the passing game, as everybody did for the Chiefs last week. But you have to like that going forward. You have to like the offensive output. And you have to figure eventually defenses are going to account for Patrick Mahomes, maybe, you would think. And that should hopefully open things up a little bit more in the run game for Kareem Hunt.
I know you analyze a lot of secondary play there at Pro Football Focus. What are you looking at the 49ers corners? And do you think we'll see more of Sammy Watkins? A great week two for him.
It was a great week, and that was the recommendation why we should stay the course with Sammy Watkins, because of his skill set. I mean, if a defense is now going to try and take Tyreek Hill out of the game, okay, well, now you have another field stretcher on the other side with Sammy Watkins. So there's going to be ups and downs with him, but the ups are certainly going to be very high. Of course, you know, that secondary, you have Richard Sherman there. He's not early career Richard Sherman, but so far this season, I say he's played fine. Kaywan Williams doing a decent enough job out of the slot, but the weak spot here is Witherspoon, the second-year player there opposite Richard Sherman. So if you're going to take advantage of a matchup this week, it's going to be him. Now, who's going to see him? You're going to see, you know, you're not going to see shadow coverage, so you're going to see Watkins in his coverage at times. You're going to see even Chris Conley in his coverage, and of course Tyreek Hill. So I figure the Chiefs will go after that matchup the most.
And you feel pretty good about it on the other side, Pierre Garçon, and if Marquise Goodwin sits out of the week, Dante Pettis could be another sneaky play this week.
Yeah, well, I hope he sneaks his way into a few more targets. That's the problem. He was out on the field for 85% of their passing plays, but only the two targets, and it looked like it was going to be a good contest. He got out to that hot start, you know, the longer reception, and that was basically all you got out of him for the whole contest. In terms of the Chiefs secondary, though, it's definitely favorable for anybody going up against it. We saw last week what Big Ben was able to do, and of course they didn't win the game, but they put up massive, massive, massive numbers. So I actually do like if you can get a piece of these wide receivers, even Pierre Garçon, who I don't think has, you know, obviously the biggest ceiling, but in a matchup like this with an over-under like this, there should be plenty of volume.
Well, the next game with a lot of scoring expected, but sometimes in the divisional rivalry, the points are not as much. But the Saints and the Falcons, Saints defense had some issues in week one, a little bit better in week two, but maybe not that much better considering their opponent. And the Falcons definitely have a lot of issues without Deion Jones and Keanu Neal. You see this one living up to it, and maybe what's the sneaky player? I think you like got to like Drew Brees and Matt Ryan this one. Is there someone under the radar that we should play in this one?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm recommending that people pick up Calvin Ridley after scoring a touchdown in his second professional game, but I don't know if we play him just yet. Obviously, you're going to be looking at Tevin Coleman. Essentially, every week that Devontae Freeman is out, Tevin Coleman gets 20 touches. You can almost like put it on the nose at 20 touches. Ito Smith was good last week, but I don't think he's going to get enough volume to use him. So, you know, I don't know if there's necessarily a sneaky play. A sneaky number maybe to know is that Ted Ginn didn't run as many routes as Austin Carr. So that's a little bit concerning because I know people are excited about Ginn, but it's going to be ultimate boom or bust with him, just like we've seen over the course of his career. It shouldn't be a surprise, but I think that number may take people by surprise.
And Michael Thomas has been just a monster, especially in a PPR league. I mean, he's been good in the standard league too, but is this just going to continue there? Is that what it's really trending towards, that we're going to see Michael Thomas in big, big spots week in and week out?
I think so. He's really, really good. Now, I mean, averaging, 14 receptions a game, he's not going to do that over the course of the season. That would be an insane amount of catches. But obviously, if he goes out, could this guy be a 110-catch guy? I mean, he's already been close to that, you know, in his short career as it is. I like the fact that they're using him a little bit more in the red zone as well. That was sort of the knock on him last year. Remember, only 5 touchdowns out of Michael Thomas, already with 3. He's the number one fantasy receiver through the first 2 weeks of the season. And there's not much competition for touches. You know, when you're saying that the number 2 receiver in routes run was Austin Carr, I mean, who do you think they're going to throw it to every week? So if you have Michael Thomas, you have to be ecstatic about that right now.
Well, we have another interesting matchup as we flip to 4:05 p.m. on Sunday. L.A. versus L.A., Chargers and the Rams. Now, both offenses have come out pretty gangbusters here early, but the defenses can be tricky here. Brandon Cooks, I think you have to be very pleased with the usage, especially with Sean McVay scheming to get him open all over the field.
And you know the thing about it, and I certainly agree there, the thing about it is they're basically running 11 personnel almost every single play, but they're not doing it in a Ben McAdoo way, which was very boring and predictable. They're doing it in a Sean McVay way, which is unpredictable and the exact opposite, exciting, not boring whatsoever. And the beauty to this, not only does it keep Cooks on the field the whole time, along with Kupp, along with Bobby Woods, but it also opens things up for Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley has 39 rushes on the season. He has yet to face base defense on any of those carries. That means more defensive backs on the field, and that means more room for Gurley to operate. That's an advantage for him for sure.
On the Chargers side, Melvin Gordon kind of doesn't impress you too much with the yards per carry or maybe even the amount of touches so far, but he's getting in the end zone. And at the same time, Austin Eckler has had 2 productive games. Do you see him being a staple part of this offense, especially with Hunter Henry out and needing a little extra backfield help in the receiving game?
He will be, but I don't expect it to continue like this. I mean, we have to always consider opponent, and the opponent last week, I mean, everybody's scoring touchdowns against the Bills. Last year, 18 rushing touchdowns to running backs. I mean, we saw Gordon go nuts. We saw the Ravens, 3 touchdowns from their running backs in week 1. So the moral, obviously, start your running backs against the Bills until further notice. In terms of Eckler, I mean, he's the number 8 fantasy running back after the first 2 weeks of the season. I cannot see that continuing, especially with him as second fiddle to Melvin Gordon. But he'll continue to be an asset, you know, enough to be worthy of consideration as a flex in PPRs for sure.
And with Phillip Rivers, he's on his hot streak again, and he's always the underrated guy that everyone forgets, and he finishes as a QB1 in 12-team leagues almost every year. It doesn't keep up here. I think this people might be a little afraid with the Rams' defense, but I think he's too hot to bench at this point.
It is really tricky because not only do you have to deal with that secondary, you have to deal with the pass rush as well. It's going to be a challenging matchup. If anything, there could potentially be some garbage time upside here from Phillip Rivers. You know, it all depends on the options you have. The one thing I really like about him, though, is through the first 2 weeks of the season, no quarterback has thrown to the end zone more often than Rivers. Now, he had all those drops in week 1, but 3 more end zone throws in week 2, 2 of them converted for scores. So that at least bodes positively when you have that touchdown upside.
Well, now we'll flip to the 2 primetime games to close here. And there could be a lot of points definitely in these games. The Patriots and Lions, I think they played on Thanksgiving a good 8 years ago, and the Patriots lit up the Lions there. Big game for Tom Brady. The big question everyone wants to know here, Josh Gordon, do you think he'll play? And do you think he can have an immediate impact, even if he doesn't completely have the playbook and not getting regular snaps?
He could, and he could, but the problem for fantasy is I don't want to base my start-sit decisions on that, because we know that this Patriots offense is notoriously difficult for wide receivers to just step right into. And, you know, it could be a situation where, sure, he could go out and score a touchdown, you could look like a genius, or he could go out and have one catch for 5 yards and play eight snaps, right? I'm not going to risk it just yet. I have to say, though, if I own Josh Gordon heading into the weekend, first of all, I would have never expected him to be on the Patriots at this point. But beyond that, after everything that unfolded and how bad it initially looked, you have to be really happy with that landing spot, because if it isn't the best landing spot for him, it's one of the best for Josh Gordon.
Now, I think one thing that we saw is that Rex Burkhead wasn't completely right there, and they didn't force him into too much action against the Jaguars. But Sonny Michel made his debut, had a few good moments, but really wasn't part of the game plan overall, with the game flow going in the Patriots' opposite direction there. Do you see the potential here with the Lions just having a lot of problems giving up big plays to running backs?
There is potential. I keep recommending picking up Michel and just stashing him, because I still think that he's this year's version of Kamara, where he has maybe not much in September to offer for fantasy purposes, but down the stretch, I think he is going to be dynamite. He's a very talented player, does great after contact. He's just able to do so much for this offense. And you're right, the game script was a James White game script, if I've ever seen one, getting down early to the Jaguars and then having to lean on the passing down back. I'm not going to roll Michel out there in starting lineups this week, but obviously, yes, we do have to keep a close eye on him.
On the Lions side, I think Kenny Golladay looks like a guy that we have to get in lineups more regularly, because the Lions have to throw a lot, and they're always in three receiver sets.
They are, and when they aren't in three receiver sets, Galladay's still on the field. That was the question that I had. Are they going to use Golden Tate out there in two wide or Galladay? Galladay is an every down guy now. Now, Golden Tate led the team in targets last week with 11, but 9 for Galladay, 9 for Jones. I mean, I think you can get a piece of any of this. And I loved seeing Matthew Stafford, after that really rough performance in week one, go out there, put up 346, put up three scores, threw the ball to the end zone 4 different times. So all those numbers bode positively for him going forward here. And definitely, I think Galladay is poised for a huge breakout. That touchdown was something special.
Well, one last game to talk about with you here is the Steelers and Buccaneers. And who knew this was going to be a marquee Monday night game and a critical one for the Steelers here. A lot of turmoil. Antonio Brown reportedly skipped out on the Monday session there. So here they are. But the good news is they can get well against this Buccaneers defense. The question to me is Ryan Fitzpatrick, we doubted him going in. We doubted him maybe even a little bit more out of the Saints game if he could repeat against the Eagles. Do you got to play him here? And he's got to be streamed in almost every league, don't you think?
He does. And the question ultimately with Fitzpatrick, if he has yet another good game, does Jameis get his job back? And obviously Dirk Koetter hasn't said either way. So the door is open for Fitzpatrick. It's crazy to think Patrick Mahomes has had this historic start to the season, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is the number one fantasy quarterback. This is unbelievable. You strike while the iron's hot, for sure. We saw last week what Mahomes could do in this matchup. I think Fitzpatrick does a bunch of the same. And this is not a fluke for the Bucs to just start hot like this. They look great in the preseason. So Fitzpatrick, yeah, he's definitely a streamer, and you may have him for the long haul this season.
With Ben Roethlisberger, the rule typically is don't play him on the road, but I don't know how you can not do that with the Buccaneers and what they were giving up in the passing game. And with their offense putting up points and the defense, the game flow, everything couldn't line up for Roethlisberger again. And I think he's right up there with those guys in scoring. Do you expect another big game from him this week?
Well, you mentioned obviously the key point with him is, will he show up on the road? Obviously, we have to keep a close eye on this Antonio Brown thing. This could have been – we don't know if it's an excused absence. We have no idea. It's a very weird scenario for sure, but that would put a damper on things if somehow the worst-case scenario, he wasn't active or something along those lines. And it's the NFL. We've seen crazy things. However, it is the secondary that we're looking at here. such a favorable matchup when you're throwing against Carlton Davis, when you're throwing against MJ Stewart, when you're throwing against Ryan Smith. That is really awesome in the fleet of receivers. I mean, we even saw James Washington getting involved. We saw how Jesse James can make an impact at the tight end position. So it's really favorable for Ben to keep rolling.
And one last thing about this game that I'll ask you is that David DeCastro, there was a little bit of a bump downward in the running game without him in there. How much does he affect how effective this running game can be in terms of plugging and playing James Conner?
Well, yeah, he is definitely a huge factor because I, actually, to be fair, though, I don't know if it was entirely on him. I'm still not convinced that Connor is just, you know, hey, you instantly replace Le'Veon Bell with Connor. I think he is a big step back from Connor, kind of what we initially said. So what we saw in week one isn't necessarily what we should expect to see every single week. Really struggled in the run game last week, and it wasn't just the offensive line. He did get the touchdown. He added the reception, so at least he salvaged a decent fantasy week. But, you know, you have to look at this. If you're a Le'Veon Bell owner, you have to look at this as the Steelers are probably going to want Le'Veon Bell back on the field pretty soon because he changes really what that offense can do.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot for your insight on the five biggest, most exciting games, hopefully for fantasy football here in week three. Thanks, and tell us again where we can find you for the listener.
Sure. On Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, ProFootballFocus.com, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Network Sunday morning pregame show.
All right, Jeff, we'll talk to you next week for Matchup Focused.
Sounds good. Thanks, Benny.
What a great spot by Jeff there. We love having him on the show to give him his unique insight. He breaks down so much there and analyzes so much of Pro Football Focus. You should check it out. Whether you have an elite subscription or edge subscription, they'll take care of you and take your fantasy football game to another level. Now, we love watching games because we want to see how our fantasy football players are going to do week in and week out. But sometimes you got to check them out up close and personal and get those tickets to the game. The best way to do that is Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is a great online event ticket marketplace. It's dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. And you got to watch your favorite team perform in person, or maybe you want to see a music show or a concert or even a live action musical or play. They'll take care of you there at Vivid Seats. You can find the best seats in the house to any event, and you can check out the values and see exactly where you want to sit and take advantage of that. And there's some great pricing points there. And overall, just an easy purchasing experience. However you get there, whether you go to Vivid Seats and their website or use their app, which you can download in the App Store or Google Play to really get in there fast and get those tickets right when you want to do that. Then they remove the hassle of trying to dig deep to finding tickets. They just set you up very easily there. So it's fantastic. And now there's a special offer for listeners to Locked On Fantasy Football like you. With the podcast code Locked On, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. So a special promo code there is Locked On just for podcast listeners here. Use that promo code and $20 off of $200 or more. So great deal there if you want to take an experience, save a little cash, and the best thing about Vivid Seats, all the confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. So take advantage of that. The local teams, you got to check them out, play. Maybe you want to go to a big game on the road. However it is, go to Vivid Seats and get your tickets there today and make sure to save that money by using the promo code LOCKEDON for orders of $200 or more. Now, let's close here the show looking at the rest of the matchups in week three that we didn't get to before or with Jeff there. And we look at the Bengals and Panthers, and this is another 1 p.m. game. Quickly going through this one, the Panthers, you're pretty much going to Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey every week. Devin Funchess is getting there as well. They're trying to get DJ Moore a little bit involved. We got to more see it to believe it. So right now I'm sticking with McCaffrey, Funchess with Newton. On the Bengals side of things, I'm going to pump the brakes a little on Gio Bernard. I know that Joe Mixon's not of this game, but the Panthers' run defense, don't go chasing the box score from last week's game with Tevin Coleman. Bernard is not the same type of runner. He's a little older. They're not going to give him the same type of workload there. So that's why caution there. And this matchup was tough. I think Mixon could have maybe used his talent to get around a little bit more, but I don't love him there. I love Andy Dalton not as much this week because I like that the fact he was home and came through last week, did a number on the Colts on the road, but Panthers are a different story there. So AJ Green is the only way I'm looking at with the Bengals this week for sure, and pretty easy there to look at this matchup and say you trust Green with the secondary issues with the Panthers, whether it's James Bradbury, a pretty good corner, or the rookie Dante Jackson. Green is going to produce again this week. Our next game is the Raiders and Dolphins. This could be a low-scoring slugfest as well. 43.5, same over-under as the Bengals and Panthers. I like the Raiders kind of in this game. I like Marshawn Lynch a lot because I think they're going to feed him the rock. He can overpower this Dolphins front. He had good success. This offensive line, I think, is going to win it for the Raiders. So, a run-heavy game plan. Amari Cooper, still heavily involved. Looked good in week one, but finally got the production in week two when him and Derek Carr connected. Derek Carr could be a very sneaky play. The Dolphins' pass defense is pretty good, however, so you're a little overextending. I think you would only relegate him in two QB leagues. I think you'd be okay. I think I'd prefer Ryan Tannehill at home in the situation, and game flow is going to be in the Raiders' favor, actually, and I like them to win this game. So Lynch and Cooper are your Raiders, and that's about it. We're not going the Jared Cook route again until we see a little bit more consistency there. With the Dolphins, I think you look at their offense, it's been kind of spread around. Devontae Parker still had the finger injury. We're not sure. Albert Wilson, that was the guy last week. Kenny Stills was the guy in week one. Basically, they're not having a lot of passing volume, so I'm going to avoid as much as possible. If I'm going to play someone there in that passing game, I play Tannehill maybe in deep, deep streaming, desperate situation. But I look at Kenyon Drake, and he's going to be a big part of this offense a lot. Even Frank Gore cutting in there, they're just become such a run-heavy team and less reliant on Tannehill. And I like how they're doing so far. So Lynch and Drake are the guys I like most, the two running backs in this game. The next and final 1 p.m. matchup that we'll look at here is the Titans and Jaguars. We're still looking for an over-under here. We're worried about Marcus Mariota. If he's not playing, then the Jaguars defense is going to have a field day at home here with Blaine Gabbert, the former Jaguars first-round pick there that is going to be playing for the Titans potentially here. So you have maybe two offensive linemen gone. That's going to help Saxonville if Taylor Lewan doesn't come back still with Jack Conklin. So sacks are going to be there. I think Leonard Fournette is a good bet to play in this game here, coming back from the hamstring and getting that week off last week. He was kind of close last week. So I think they'll go back to the run-heavy situation here. So if you're excited about Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook and all those weapons and Blake Bortles, I think this is a game where the Jaguars can win pulling away. They don't need to be too aggressive. They're going to have a lead here pretty early and put this team away, and a team not built to come back in the Titans. So for now, Titans, the only thing I like is Deion Lewis and Corey Davis. Everything else is a bit of a stretch here just because of the usage of Lewis and Davis that need to be in the offense without Delanie Walker, without healthy other receivers, and Derrick Henry not doing much. So those are the only two guys I'm looking at because they can get some dump-offs here and maybe some garbage production when the game is out of hand for the Titans based on game flow. Now, we have just a few more games to talk about. Two in the 4:25 window here. The Cowboys and Seahawks, 41.5, so really low scoring there. The Cowboys defense is the second best streamer to me to the Browns this week. Even on the road, Seahawks giving a ton of sacks. Cowboys coming off a big sack game against the Giants. So all things line up there very well. The Cowboys defense is going to be a little healthier. They can make some plays here. So I like the Cowboys to win this game. The Seahawks are only favored by one. And I like the Cowboys to go in and win. I think they're the better team at the moment because of their offensive line and defensive line actually being stronger in this one. So I look at the Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott. You've put in there, but I'm not extending anything else. It's Ezekiel Elliott and their defense. So very Jaguars-esque to have defense and running game, but that's where the Cowboys are at this very moment. Seahawks, if you've got a better alternative to Russell Wilson, I would send him. There's a lot of big point makers right now at quarterback. That 17 points he put up in the 6-point TD passing league last week with the turnovers. He's had a ton of turnovers here in the first two games. And it's not helping that he doesn't really have Doug Baldwin out there getting a lot of pressure. Still managed to manufacture 5 touchdowns there, but you can do better. I think you can find a cleaner game. This could be ugly and low scoring. Remember, the Cowboys have shut down Cam Newton rather well. And they did a pretty good job there just stifling Eli Manning. So it's just a tough, tough thing to trust. So Tyler Lockett and Brandon Marshall, the only real target I like here is Will Dissly because the tight end can get it a little open against the Cowboys. These Cowboys corners are playing rather well. So Dissly is maybe surprisingly the only Seahawk I'm going to play. I'm not going to touch their running backs or their defense this week, even against the Cowboys at home. And finally, we have the other 425 game, a low-scoring affair that's also expected, even more low-scoring, 37.5, also out in the West with the NFC West team hosting it, the Cardinals. Cardinals offense, they've admitted they've made a lot of mistakes. They're not getting David Johnson involved. The Bears have really shut down opposing running backs this year, but let's keep in mind that they've faced the Packers mess and the Seahawks mess. So they haven't faced anyone like David Johnson. They're going to move him out into space a little bit more, a lot more dump offs. They'll do some overcorrecting. So I think you'll get a lot of David Johnson in the passing game as well as in the running game to try to spark this offense, try to move Larry Fitzgerald around to get him open. He does have a hamstring issue, so keep an eye on that to see if he plays. But I'm sticking with Fitzgerald maybe for one more week here, but the Bears secondary can be rather tough and Sam Bradford's not doing anything. I hope for the best in a PPR. In standard, I might bench Fitzgerald here. But David Johnson, you're going to play. Hope for the best. From the Bears side, Jordan Howard, this Cardinals team has given up quite a bit of running here in the first 2 weeks. So I like Jordan Howard to be effective in this one. Surprisingly not so against Seattle, but rebounds here to play rather well. In terms of the pass game, you're going to trust Allen Robinson and Trey Burton most and going to stay away from everyone else. And that includes Mitchell Trubisky. The desert can be a bit of a trap for quarterbacks, especially young ones. So not going there. I love the Bears defense. I think they're a regular starting play here with Khalil Mack making a ton of plays and their pass rush and secondary all revved up to help out. So Bears a great matchup this week in terms of the regular owned defenses to really trust. And maybe we'll see a little shades of that Devin Hester game and things really go well in the Bears' favor in this one without letting themselves off the hook. So there you have it. There's your look at all the games, both sides here of week three in the NFL in terms of fantasy football upside and our downside. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks again for Jeff Ratcliffe to help us break down things here this week, as he always does. Can't wait till next week to talk about that. Tyler Lochner will be on the show tomorrow to help us with DFS in lineup focused. For matchup focused here on Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.